Morning. My name is Reverend Jeff Zito, and I am representing Jacob's Hope Ministry of the Assemblies of God, first and only AG ministry to Israel and Jewish people around the world. But this morning, I praise God for His love and faithfulness. And man, I don't know if I've ever heard Pastor Debbie a better sermon on baptism before. All in 5 minutes. I'm convinced now I might just get a second baptism. Well, not the one you're thinking of. So praise God. I'm glad that we're finally able to have this. I've been looking forward to coming and being with you guys. I'm currently residing in Haverhill for the spring and living in Springfield, Massachusetts, Missouri, rather, where our headquarters is, Jacob's Hope. And just want to tell you a little bit about myself. Before I do that, I just have to compliment your church. I've been to many churches before, but the way I was received when I came in this morning to set up my table, I just sense the spirit in this place, like joy. And I know I've been a part of churches before that have to set up every Sunday and come in, and it's hard work. I know. I'm there with you. But in spite of that, the love and the joy that I sense here, I just have to thank you and praise the Lord for you. Keep in it. Keep pursuing the things of God and His presence. I'll tell you very quickly the testimony of a young lady that I know, I think this will encourage you. Her testimony kind of parallels mine and Pastor Debbie's as well, actually, as she was telling us. This young lady, when she was in high school, she began to get herself into some very bad things, drugs and drinking, the whole bit. In her words, her life was spinning out of control. And she began to see close friends of her die in DUI accidents. She totaled her car twice. Don't even know how she survived. But, you know, finally, all of this lifestyle landed her in prison. But it was a good thing because it was in prison that someone told her the good news of Jesus. And for the first time, she heard it, and for the first time, she believed it. And God started to transform her. It wasn't even somebody that worked at the prison. It was a few prisoners, actually, that told her. And she began to be changed, and she was about in her early 20s. God was not just transforming her spiritually, but things were looking up for her. She got a job at her father's company as a sales rep. But then she started to get very sick, and the doctors told her, "Julie, we're very sorry to tell you this. The reason why you're not getting any better is because you have Hodgkin's cancer." And this devastated her, of course, along with the fact that they said, because of the chemo treatments, we're afraid that you're never going to have children. And this completely threw her for a loop because, ladies, especially young ladies in the crowd, how many know when you're, growing up, it's every young lady's dream to have reenact the wedding that you'll have and look forward to having children you can rear up your own and having a family of your own. That's every young lady's dream. And for this young lady, that wasn't going to happen. And as much as she was young in her faith, thank God she kept the faith. And how many know the Bible says that the Lord makes it rain not on just the unjust, but the just as well? But how many know that the Lord is faithful to those who are in Him? That even though storms may rage in this life, that God is our refuge. God is faithful. That's my favorite attribute about the Lord, that He is faithful no matter what, even when we are faithless. And you know what? He was faithful to this young lady. Even if her cancer never did go into remission, never to return, even if God did prevail in her life, which, by the way, cancer has never come back, and 2 years later, I was born. And 2 years after that, my little brother. And two of us are, yeah. Yeah, give him praise. And both of us are faithfully serving the Lord today. In fact, my brother just got called to missions this year to India. and he's on fire for God, and God has just been so faithful to our family. We have not always been the most faithful, but God has been faithful to us, and we've been obedient as best we can, and God has honored that. So I love the fact that even though the enemy, even though the world spoke death on me, I mean, Pastor was saying that she should be dead. I should have never lived. If we believed the report of the doctors, I shouldn't be here. But we didn't believe that report. We believed a different report. We believed the report of the great physician, of the healer, of the Lord our God, and he had a different plan. He was singing a new song. And whoever has similar circumstances in your life, I'm sure I couldn't imagine how dark of a time it was for my mother during those years, but she kept the faith. And so God is faithful to you. Just trust him in spite of what's going on. In the midst of the storm, there's always the light you can see through the clouds, however small it is. And just know how big the sun is compared to the rest of everything. And it may look small at the time, but that sun is bright and is everlasting, and it'll shine in your life. Just hold through, persevere, and God will be faithful because that is who he is. So you would think with a testimony like that, I was on my little red box preaching at the age of six, you know, revival services in the inner city. I actually, unfortunately, didn't get saved myself until I was a junior in high school at the age of 17. And I grew up in the church, grew up in youth group. I see some of the young people in the back, and I was about your age when I came to the Lord. You know, I was in youth group. I had read the Bible from cover to cover, went to church all since I was a kid, grew up with my mother. Parents split when I was two, but she was a God-fearing woman and taught me the ways of the Lord. But I was running from God my whole life until I finally surrendered to him. And I lived in fear because I knew what was right and I didn't do it. I lived in fear of the judgment that was going to be on my sin if I didn't come to God. And I knew the life that was in store for me. I knew that he promised me eternal life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he was doing that to me. But I finally, at a youth convention in my home district, where I'm originally from, I am originally from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area. I bleed the black and gold, buddy. Yeah. You're a Steeler fan? Oh, man, I knew I sensed the anointing in here, brother. Getting me excited now. So, yeah, born and bred, Pittsburgh Steelers, Penguins, Pirates. Got saved in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where they make the chocolate. And, yes, something sweet happened to me there as well. I surrendered to God, and God called me into full-time ministry. Just wanted to see people saved, that's all. Just wanted to see people come to the Lord and just wanted that to be my life. Well, that's full-time ministry, I guess, some people would call it. And the Lord called me to Zion when it was Zion Bible College. And give him praise, got another anointed one up here. And now North Point Bible College, which, by the way, for you young people who are considering schooling, best 4 years of my life. I grew in my relationship with the Lord more than I ever thought, and I'm sure my young lady friend can attest to that as well, how God changed her life and her parents' lives as well. You know, the sky's the limit, really, with knowing the Lord and his word and what he can do for your life. And God equipped me with tools for the ministry, relationships with godly friends that I'll always have. And, it was also at Zion that I had the opportunity to do something for which I'm with you wonderful people this morning. I had the opportunity to travel to Israel. And we were there for a month on an educational tour. Saw all the sites, the places where Jesus walked, the archaeological sites. And I like to say it like this. God not only put a love in my heart for these things, these dead stones, so to speak, but the living stones. Hear me, church. The people. And I returned home with a burden for Jewish people, for God's covenant people. And that was 3 years ago this summer. And God's been cultivating that calling. Got on board with Jacob's Hope 2 years ago. And I'll tell you a little bit about what we do at Jacob's Hope. Again, first and only ministry in the AG to Israel. And our director, 5 years ago when he started this ministry, just had such a burden for his Jewish brothers and sisters. When he traveled to Europe, saw the plight of many very impoverished Jewish people that didn't know the Lord. Now, think about it for a second. All of us here have heard the gospel probably so many times in this country. And it's a blessed country that we can go anywhere and have access to the Word of God. But think about this. There are thousands of Jewish people all around the world who, let's not even talk about the gospel, thousands of Jews who have never even heard the name of their Messiah. Can you imagine that? Never heard the name one time in their life of Jesus. And if they have heard of Jesus, they've heard it in a completely wrong context. They've heard it in the skewed context of church history and how the church has persecuted Jewish people. They think of Jesus as this conqueror bent on conquest, and as Christians think of Jewish people as their Christ killers and the scum of the earth, and that Christians hate them. Truth be told, that's what my director, as he was growing up as a boy, was taught in his family. And if you look at 2,000 years of church history, you can understand why. So that and another thing, they think that Christians want to convert them from their Jewishness and to become Gentiles and lose everything Jewish that they've ever known, lose their identity. One of the things that we emphasize in our ministry is that you can be a Jew and still believe in the Messiah. We're not trying to make you Gentiles before you come to know the Lord. That resonated with Jeff's heart, and it burdened his heart because, quite honestly, it burdens Jesus' heart. He stood looking after Jerusalem, and he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you, as a hen gathers chicks under her wings. You weren't willing." So it's the Father's heart, it's the Son's heart, and it should be our heart as well. 5 years ago, our ministry was born, and God has been doing so many great things. I'll just give you a brief picture of what we've been able to do. In Germany and Turkey, we've been able to birth brand new Messianic congregations that weren't there before. In the country of Belarus, which is a country in southeastern Europe, one of the former Soviet bloc countries, we helped a congregation to grow from 40 to over 200. And when I say Messianic congregation or Messianic believer, it just means that it's a Jewish person who's born again. So we understand terms. Some would call them a Christian Jew, but the reason I don't use that terminology is because in some people's minds it would imply that they've left their Judaism and become Gentiles, which again I emphasize that they are fulfilled in who God made them to be as a Jew. And they now know Messiah of Israel. And in Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach. You ready? Yeshua HaMashiach. And literally that means Jesus the Messiah. So moving a little more south, we are we're in Ethiopia, Africa. And precious Jewish people in Addis Ababa, which is the capital city of Ethiopia. We did a medical missions trip there, saw thousands of Ethiopian Jews who've never seen a doctor before. And in 2 weeks, we saw over 200 Jewish Ethiopians come to know their Messiah, many of whom were just hearing for the first time. So God is doing a great work. Finishing up in Israel, in 5 years, God has allowed us to plant 10 centers, 10, all around Israel, which do food and clothing distribution to extremely impoverished Jewish families. We do building projects for new immigrants, teaching and training for immigrants that are coming from third world countries that don't have job skills. And most importantly, we're sharing the gospel of the Messiah. It's estimated that in all of our centers, we're able to minister to about 18,000 Israelis every year. Isn't that awesome? And yeah, and just last year, just in our ministry in Israel, we saw over 100 Jews come to faith in Jesus. And these are the ones we know are coming back to the congregations and being actively discipled. And it could have been in the hundreds of those who have raised their hands or God has moved on their heart in secret ways that we're not aware of yet. These are the ones we know for sure are growing in the Lord. So with that, I'm going to show you a brief video. And this video features our director, and he is in Israel here in Jerusalem, and he's going to share his heart for the ministry, ministering to Jewish people, and the burden, share with you a couple of statistics. Pay attention now. These statistics are going to blow your mind. You talk about impoverished people, and you talk about unreached people groups. Check it out. It was a shocker, wasn't it? Anybody else shocked besides me? 99.8% of Jews don't know their Messiah in Israel. 99.8%. And the poverty rate is up to 50%. Yep. It's a big need. We picture Jewish people living in the United States as very rich, wealthy, and it may be true, but the picture outside of the United States is very different. A lot of impoverished Jewish people. And picture this. Families in Israel, literally, on the meager portions that they make, $50, $100 a month, have to decide. Now, picture this with those of you who have families, young families, children that you have. The money that you spend, will it be used for food or will it be used for medicine for the kids? That's decisions that some of these Jewish families have to make on a daily, weekly basis. If you guys could turn with your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And by the way, I saw that you had a question. We'll take questions at the table at the end. I don't have too much time here, but stop by the table afterwards, and any questions or comments you have, I'd love to talk with you. Okay. Now, keep your finger in there. Very briefly, I'm going to give you top four reasons of why ministry to Israel is so important. And you still might be wondering, okay, what's the big deal about Israel? I read about it in the Bible. I see it on the news. What is my place as a Gentile? What is Israel's place prophetically, historically? How do I fit in? What does God have to say about his eternal covenant with Israel? Well, I'm glad you asked. So many questions. Let me just take my time here. number one, why is Israel so important? To you, to me, to God. Number one, probably I think the biggest reason is Jews need Jesus. Bottom line. An Orthodox Jew was talking with me and he said, but Jeff, we're God's covenant people. We're his chosen people. I said, well, you're absolutely right. I won't debate that with you for a second, but you still need to be following his chosen leader. And that was HaMashiach, the Messiah, who was prophesied in the Old Testament to come, and he has. You know how else I know? Well, Scripture tells us so many different places. My favorite, John 14, 6, I think we can all probably quote it here. Jesus said, I am the way, truth. Nobody, you guys are sharp. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So that's for everybody, of course, that's why we're all here. But my point is, who was Jesus' original audience when he said those words? The Jews, right? So if there's anybody that needs Messiah, it's the Jewish people. And Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. And the gospel in Romans 1:20 says that the gospel is to the Jew first. And I honestly think that should be, even in our churches, even in the AG, should be a priority of evangelism, to get the gospel to the Jew first, back to the people we first got it from, right? Okay, number two, for number one, Jews need Jesus. Number two, there's a supernatural blessing that comes with blessing Jewish people. The first part of Genesis 12:3, if you're there, and we could probably all quote this too, God says, I will bless those who bless you, right? Bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. So those of us who bless Israel, I'll tell you what, there have been families, churches, individuals that have been struggling financially. And one church in particular was in the red every single year. And they were challenged with, it wasn't our ministry, I think it was another either missionary or church. And they said, I'll just take a step out in faith and I'll choose to bless Israel. You know what? Don't know where. Don't ask me where the finances came in. They don't know. But all they know is that from that time on, where they started blessing Israel, they were in the green every year. Supernatural. God still honors his word that those who bless Israel will be blessed. Look at the second part of that verse. It says, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now let me ask you a question. Have you been blessed by Jewish people? Yes, right? If you have your Bible, I want you to wave it to me. So, if you have a Bible in the house this morning, guess what? You've been blessed by Jewish people. Why? They wrote it. The possible exception of Luke, who may or may not have been a Gentile, our Bible was written by Jewish people. All right, how about this? Anybody in the house have a Messiah this morning? If you have a Messiah and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Messiah, guess what? You've been blessed by Jewish people. What nationality was Jesus? He's a Jew. Where did he say salvation comes from? The Jews. And who were the first believers in the Messiah? Jews. Wow. One vine we've been grafted in to Israel. And our faith is essentially and thoroughly Jewish. Paul says, Romans 15:27. Now, if you guys, some of you guys are going to get mad at me, I just want to pretext this by saying, I didn't write this, okay? Didn't write this verse. Paul says, if the Gentiles have received these spiritual blessings, i.e., what we just said, spiritual blessings, we have the two greatest things that we could ever ask for. We received through Israel from God. We have God's Word and God's Son, right? And those were the spiritual blessings. He said, if we receive these spiritual blessings, then we owe it to the Jews to bless them materially. And Paul is talking about a reciprocal blessing. So if we've been blessed by the Jewish people, we need to bless them back. Although I don't think some people would see that word owe there and be like, oh, that's obligatory and it's a burden. I don't see it as a burden at all. I see it as a joy. We get to give back the good news of Messiah. Thousands of Jewish people never heard the good news. Offer them the chance of hope, which we have received through them. Is that an exciting thing? Anybody getting excited here this morning? We're able to bless God's covenant people directly. And let's see. So, and that was the third point there. Blessing Israel is important because we've been blessed by them, right? So I think this is the fastest I've ever gone through these points, but I think I'm making it very clear and succinct. Number four, last point, is that if we have wonderful worship services like we just had this morning, and we get on our knees and we ask, God, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours, and we want to know what God's heart is, I'll tell you what a big part the Lord's heart is his covenant people, Israel. Anybody here ever read the Old Testament before? So many affectionate, powerful, passionate verses from God regarding his people, Israel. Israel, you're the apple of my eye. I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. Hosea 11:8, my favorite verse. It's on the back of my missionary card. Even after all of Israel's unfaithfulness, rebellion, he says, Ephraim, how can I hand you over? O Israel, how can I give you up? And he can't. God made an unbreakable covenant with Israel. And remember we were talking about the faithfulness of God? God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful. Praise God. Amen. I want to share with you a quick testimony of a man I met in the Galilee, was able to minister to him. And if I could have a gentleman, brother, if I could have you come up. You're the closest guy to me. Steve. Yes. All right. Can you picture, all right, your brother Steve here, he's going to be Jewish for the next 2 minutes. Can you picture it? All right, say shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, there it is. Now we know. Okay, so Steve, this young man I met in the Galilee, I shook his hand and I said, listen, you know, we're brothers. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's call that the mother religion. You're a Jew, I'm a Christian, and we'll call those sister religions. That means we're brothers. And so I found common ground. And the things that we do agree on, we share the same Old Testament, as Jewish people call the Tanakh. And I said, listen, this might be a shocker statement to some people, but let me just clarify it when I'm done saying it, all right? I said, listen, I just want to clear the air here in case you think I'm trying to convert you, because I'm not. I do not want to convert you to Christianity. Uh-oh. Pastor, why'd you have this missionary? He's not really a missionary. I said, listen, I'm not trying to convert you to Christianity, but I want you to see that for you, a Jew, Mr. Steve, believing in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is the most Jewish thing a Jew like you can ever do. Believing in Jesus is the most Jewish thing a Jew like you can ever do. And if that didn't stir him, which I think it did,
oh, yeah.
By the end of the conversation, I said, listen, I just want to shake your hand again. I want to thank you because, listen, it was from you and your people that I received my Messiah. Whoa. And if anything, it's as Paul said, provoke them to envy, provoke them to jealousy. Now these Gentiles have their God. But that shouldn't be a shocker either, because it was as the Bible prophesied that through Messiah he would be a light to the nations, salvation we brought to the ends of the earth. So we exchanged contact information. He said, Jeff, next time you're in the Galilee, look me up, and you can come stay with my family, and I will put you up for a few nights. So pray with me for my brother. That next time I go back, him and his whole household will be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve. So God is opening doors. In these last days, well, I'll share that in a second. So you've heard why to bless Israel, but here's the how. Obviously, our ministry is here this morning, the first and only ministry in the assemblies to Israel, and we're excited to present your church an opportunity to bless Israel. Finally in the AG, and Dr. Georgia Wood, our superintendent, he said, finally, for the first time in the AG, we have the chance to invest in the humanitarian, discipleship, and evangelistic efforts to reaching Jewish people around the world. And that is what Jacob's Hope is all about. So you have the chance this morning to invest in that, directly getting the gospel out to the people we got it from and offering Jewish people a chance of hope. Jewish people who are living in extremely impoverished nations, Jewish people who still have memories of the Holocaust, half their families murdered in places like Auschwitz or Treblinka. I'll tell you, you won't be able to catch it just in these few seconds, but such a hopelessness and spiritual darkness among so many Jewish people. Even though they're God's covenant people, they need Jesus. They need him. Remember what you were like before Jesus. Remember the darkness you were in. It's no different than Jewish people without Jesus. Yes, Judaism is a beautiful religion, but just like anything, it's empty without Jesus. So that's what we're doing. Secondly, the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I would add to that and how to pray. Pray specifically when you pray that the Prince of Peace, Jesus, will reconcile his covenant people to himself in Israel and around the world, and reconcile Jewish people specifically to their Arab brothers in Israel. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen was at a congregation in Israel was born again Jewish people, Messianic Jews, Messianic Gentiles, Christians, and former Muslim Arabs, now believers, all worshiping under one roof, loving each other with a brotherly love that you're just not going to see on the news, and you're not going to find anywhere else. God is doing a work, and pray to that end with me. Pray for our ministry that God will use us, our missionaries. Pray that God will establish his new covenant in the hearts of his covenant people. And then third of all, does anybody here know anybody that's Jewish? Well, I met a young lady that is Jewish here. Anybody else that is Jewish? Two? We have two? Okay. Cool. Well, our young ladies back here are living testimonies of prophecy of God's promise that he would indeed... Sorry to embarrass you. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then. We have a line of genealogy going here. Jeremiah 31:31, God promised to put his law in your minds and write it on your hearts that he will be your God and you will be his people. And hey, here it is. There it is. And the biggest way you can bless a Jewish person is, you have the testimony in your midst by sharing the good news of Messiah with your Jewish neighbor. And that example and testimony I gave, I hope that helps you putting Christianity back into its Jewish context, that you don't have to convert from your Judaism. You don't have to leave your Judaism, because that's the big fear, is that Jewish people will leave their identity, their everything that they've ever known, and convert to this new religion. Well, really, you're embracing the Messiah of your own Bible, and you're being come fulfilled in who God made you to be. Let's face it, our Messiah himself, you know, he was a kosher Jewish rabbi. Did you know that? Still is. Never left. So it's not too hard to emphasize the Jewishness of origin, because really that's what it is, and that's where we come from. But for whether Jew or Gentile, the salvation comes through faith in Messiah. That's the bottom line. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, for all are one in him. That's the one new man. Praise God. Can I have the young lady who was doing piano come up and just play a few chords? We're going to end up in a little prayer today, in the last few minutes that we have. And if I could just have everybody stand with me, please. And in addition to that, join me here at the platform. Come on, don't be shy. Everybody, come on down if you're physically able, which if you made it to church this morning, I think that's probably safe to say. Now, I'm glad Pastor said what she said this morning before I got up about longing for the presence of God, about us wanting something new from the Lord. And now I trust that that you didn't come to see me or Pastor Debbie. You didn't come for friends, or all those things are good and they're side things. But you came to meet with the Lord, and I trust that. You came to receive something new from God. If that's you, just raise your hand. You come to... I hope that's everybody. You came to receive from the Lord. And I want to make that opportunity available to you this morning. I want to share here from Isaiah. And our Lord, Yeshua, Jesus, he read from the scroll about a prophecy that was fulfilled in him. And this is who he is to you. And he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." He's got good news for us this morning. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Your heart's broken in here. He wants to bind it up. "Proclaim freedom for the captives." Do you feel trapped? Do you feel like you're in darkness like my mother was? God has freedom for you if you feel like a captive this morning. "Release darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And if you're despairing this morning, I don't care, whatever it is. And I want you to praise God despite what you're despairing about. I don't know what is in your life this morning, but praise God in the midst of it, because in the storm, there's that little light there, but just know that, behind that little light is a great gigantic sun. And that sun is forever shining, and that sun is forever faithfulness. I'm allegorizing to the Son of God right now. Can you feel it? Can you feel His presence? They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. He wants you to be planted in Him, to display His splendor and His glory and who He is, to be a walking testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. Hallelujah. Something just pretty neat for you. Jesus' name, Yeshua, is an actual Hebrew word used in the Old Testament. Does anybody know what it means? Good. It means salvation or deliverance. And do you remember in, I believe it was Matthew, that when they were naming Jesus, they said, name Him Jesus, Yeshua, because He will save the people from their sins. His name means salvation. If you need Him for salvation this morning and haven't come to Him for that, come to Him. Let Him save you from your sins. If you need Him to be your deliverer for anything, that's who His name means Him to be, Yeshua. That's who He is. He's our deliverer. So let Him be your deliverer this morning. If that's you and you need special prayer, I just want you to come and get in the presence of the Lord. Just come. And I want you to kneel down here at the altar and praise God. Pastor and I are going to pray for you. But I see some people being stirred. If that's you, just come. Just come. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I know there's more here. If you need prayer this morning, just come. Kneel before the Lord. And Pastor and I want to anoint you and pray with you for your need. Hallelujah. Pastor Debbie and Renee, if you could join me in praying. Hallelujah. And for the rest of you who are just here to receive something new from the Lord, as we're just here playing music, just worship Him. You can pray in your head, but I kind of like praying out loud, because it's just like, there's just something about it. You're praying with your tongue, the tongue that used to be used for cursing is now being used to bless. Use that tongue to bless the Lord. And start just thanking Him. Just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Your faithfulness in my life. Thank you, Lord, for what You've done for me. Thank You for bringing me out of darkness into light, Lord. Thank You for calling me to this city. Thank You for calling me to be used to make other disciples, to bring my friends and family out of darkness and into light. Just praise Him. I don't care what you're thanking Him for. Just thank Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah.